We're going to go ahead and start anyway. We're going to be coming from Jeremiah, the fifth chapter. I don't think I'm going to complete it all. I think it is a great possibility that we could, but I don't think we are. So we're going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll enter into this lesson. Father, we thank you for you leaving us your word so we can go in and continue to see how not totally how powerful you are, but that you are a loving God, you're a merciful God. But at the same time, we don't want to understand what it seems that the modern day church, people who come together in buildings, stucco, brick, hardware, steel buildings, brick on one side, wooden buildings. We don't want to come together, Lord, and think that that's all that you are. It's a loving God. Because in your love, you have judgment. And it behooves us to see your judgment. Because you are just, you deal with sin, you deal with the stubborn heart. So we might not want to hear it. We'll rob from you. We will rob from you if we think we can overpower you. The fleshly heart and mind will think that it can overrule you and change your ways. But we understand that you say you change not. You told us to stay in the word. You said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And through history, through one generation to the next generation, from the beginning to the end, you have been and will always be. And you said you don't change not. That's what we can trust. So help us to trust it when our hearts might fail, when we grow weak or what have you. You see us, Lord. Help us to stay in your word and not be forgetful hearers of your word, as we will see that these people continue to do in Jeremiah. You said that these things were written for our learning. May we learn and grow, be washed, be encouraged, be strengthened by your power. You told us that you give us the power. That's what you told us. Power that was greater than that of the principalities of this world, the prince of this world. Help me, dear Lord, to speak what's in your text. I ask that you help us all in our lives to be faithful to you in the times that seem pleasant and the time that seems dreary. I pray for my sister, my brother right now. Give them strength, Lord. I pray for others in seeking truth. We need your strength. We're asking these things in Jesus' name, amen. So as I've already said, we're going to be looking at the fifth chapter of Jeremiah tonight. It's a very sad chapter. I actually feel heavy in getting ready to talk about it. I see our country, I see individuals, not particularly individuals, but I know that this many people who walk the face of the earth right now. I'm not going to give a big, preface or synopsis of where we were in chapter 4. Chapter 4, though, in starting with the lesson for tonight, if you look at the beginning, we see that God was trying to call these people of Judah back to himself. Jeremiah, I said, it's like he's in a court case, and he talks to the people. He brings them God's word. I don't, sometimes he might have talked, but I just imagine there was there might have been a roughness in his voice. If there wasn't a roughness in his voice, I believe there was a loudness to his voice. If there wasn't a loudness to his voice, I believe there was a poignancy to his voice and an urgency to his voice. I believe there was a firmness and a piercing with his words and his voice. And God told him, don't you worry about the people's faces, but you be faithful to what I'm telling you to tell them. And for about 40 years, 42 years, somewhere around there, he spoke to Judah about things that Judah knew. Judah, 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 Judah. And Judah wouldn't listen. Captivity's coming. God's judgment is coming. the pot that I saw, it's boiling over. It's as if from the north, it's boiling over. The almond bud, the rod, it's budding with almond as if something is about to happen. God is about to bring his judgment because you have continuously chosen not to listen to him. Jeremiah's like, God is going to get you. God is going to get us. So in the beginning of the fourth chapter, he says, I need you to return. He said, you got to make some changes. That old way's got to be broken up. It's got to be torn down. The heart has got to be prepared. I said it wasn't going to be a long synopsis, didn't I? I meant it. Well, I'm going to turn to the 22nd verse of the fourth chapter. Just read a little bit. Then we're going to enter into the fifth verse before we go. I mean, not the fifth verse, but the fifth chapter. And before we get into the fifth chapter, I'll tell you what my title is. It's a long one tonight. I'm going to try to talk tonight. I'm going to try to talk and not be so loud, but I can't promise you. I will not promise you. Listen at chapter 4 and verse 22. For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children. And they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void in the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. Chapter 4 is grim. Jeremiah speaks as if there's no form. When the people would not listen to God's word, they did not have his order. There was no form. And he goes back and he paints a picture for us of creation. How things were. It's like empty, void, no sustenance. When God spoke the elements or whatever you want to call them, they obeyed. But these people were just so chaotic and dark, dark. Dark without the wisdom of God. Well, last week we went into the fifth chapter a little bit. We went to about two verses talking about the graveness of the situation. I've listened to a few people read a little bit, and some will say this one seems to deal with the moral issues. I guess I can kind of see that. We're still in court. But I think the whole thing, we've been looking at moral issues. So maybe you can dissect it and divide it and make it specific. But these people have been utterly wicked. Mm-hmm. And as if, as the Bible says in Genesis 15 about the Amorites, the iniquity of the Amorites was full. They have reached a measure in the point of God where there is an expression, they've passed the point of no return. Well, let me tell you what my title is for tonight. I said it's long. I would like to at least try to get up to about verse 20. I'll tell you, I plan on being in Deuteronomy tonight. We might be in Zephaniah tonight. We're just going to be in different passages. So if you read this chapter, I think it's one that we could call self-explanatory. But if allowed to, I'm going to show some passages in scripture that either highlights or shows how much these people, not how much, but the fact that these people knew so much before they got to this point centuries later. My title for tonight is, You, Having Been Blessed, Did Not Heed My Warnings of Love. I'll repeat it again. You, people of God, Judah, you having been blessed, did not heed my warnings of love. Situation had got so bad. Let me read some, okay? I think I'm going to attempt to read the entire chapter. It sounded like it just cut off, did it? I'm going to read the entire chapter if I can, and then we're going to go back into this. I'm going to be in several passages of scripture tonight. I don't think it's going to detract. I think it's going to support. Okay, here we go. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I'll pardon it. And though ye say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Verse 4. Therefore I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. I will get me unto the great men, and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord, and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Wherefore a lion of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them, and a leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased. Verse 7. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me, and sworn by them that are no gods. When I fed them to the full, they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after their neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Verse 10, go ye up upon her walls and destroy. Make not a full end. Take away her battlements, for they are not the Lord's. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. Verse 12, they have belied the Lord and said, it is not he, neither shall evil come upon us. Neither shall we see sword nor famine. Verse 13. And the prophet shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire. And this people would and shall devour them. Lo, I will bring a nation upon you from far. O house of Israel, saith the Lord, it is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not. Neither understandest thou what they say. Oh, the confusion. I added that part. Verse 16. This mighty nation, verse 16, their quiver is as an open sepulcher. They are all mighty men. Verse 17, they shall eat up thine harvest and thy bread, which thy sons and daughters should eat. They shall eat up thy flocks and thy herds. They shall eat up thy vines and thy fig tree. They shall impoverish thy fenced cities wherein thou trustest with the sword. Nevertheless, in those days, said the Lord, I will not make a full end with you. Verse 19. And it shall come to pass when ye shall say, wherefore doth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Let me read that again. Wherefore doeth or doth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Then shalt thou answer them, like as ye have forsaken me and served strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours. Verse 20, declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence? Have placed the sand for a bound of the sea by perpetual decree that it cannot pass. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and are gone. Verse 24. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season, and reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sin have withholden good things from you. Verse 26. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men as a cage is full of birds. So are they full of deceit. Therefore, they are become great and waxen rich. Verse 28. They are waxen fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless. Yet they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge. Verse 29. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Wonderful and a horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? I say, this is a sad and a heavy chapter. Let me repeat my title. You having been blessed did not heed my warning of love. It's gotten so bad to the point. I said I'm gonna try to talk now. When I was reading, I like to put those emphases there. Okay, here we go. It's gotten so bad to the point within these years. I can't tell you specifically in which year this falls, this chapter right here. But I would assume by reading some of the other, and I don't remember, but I think I said maybe in the second time that I've begun to speak in Jeremiah, that Jeremiah is not necessarily in chronological order, but we know we're dealing with a stiff-necked, hard-hearted people. It's gotten to the point now that it is so bad. This fifth chapter, let me tell you what it makes me think of, right? And then we'll go back to get to the first verse. It makes me think of Deuteronomy 30, chapter 32. Actually, you can read chapter, just so much of Deuteronomy, but specifically chapter 32. It makes me think of Psalms. I want to say Psalms 14. We'll probably turn there a little bit. And other passages of scripture, Hosea, Zephaniah. It makes me think of it because some of these prophets that I'm mentioning, specifically Hosea, he's in the time of Judah's, let's say, demise. This first verse, if you've read Genesis before 18th chapter, you see where Abraham goes to God before God is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he goes from 50 all the way down to 5, like, God, please don't destroy this city. I'm pleading on behalf of this city. And God says, if you can find that. Well, listen, Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked people, right? Lot was there. But in Judah, we have a people who was, let's call them the people of promise, the people to whom God had given covenant, at least prior to their generation's time in Judah, right? Yeah. So let's listen at this. Run ye to and fro. Jeremiah is painting a picture that before someone is really in a court case, going to be condemned, before they're going to be said that they're guilty, there ought to be a thorough investigation. Not you just say somebody did something without checking it out because you don't like them. No, God is just. He shines the light on your deeds. He shines the light on your actions. He shines the light on how you're living, what you mean, what your intention is. Isn't that right? Yes, it is. And his sweet, sweet, sweet love, giving them so much time to repent. So Jeremiah is like, listen at this again. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. That's the capital city. And see now and know and seek in the broad places. I want you to turn every nook and cranny. See if somebody loves the Lord to keep his word. If ye can find a man, if there be any that will execute judgment.
use God's righteous judgment, who will not be swayed by someone's reputation, who will not be swayed by someone's money, who will not be swayed by someone's position, but will hearken to the commandment of God. Seek someone that seeketh the truth and will. God says, if you can find an individual, I'll pardon it. Now, looks like it's talking about one man. Now, I've already mentioned that there were prophets. So he said, well, what about Jeremiah? What about Baruch? Baruch was, I think, the one who would pen things for Jeremiah. What about Zephaniah? So I think if we go and look at like one person, I think then we might be looking at it too much. But this is imagery. This is to get a point across. These people were a people that God had allowed to multiply, right? And to increase. And it's like you can't find. We could say one, but you can't find a group of people. Maybe it was one, but then what about Jeremiah? This is why I'm saying this. It's so bad that you can't find, I'm going to say, a pocket of people who are living consistently, daily, being ruled and governed by God's word. What he said to do. Now, listen, listen, listen. He told them to look. This is a court case. God is going to be just. Second verse. And though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. These people in Judah, I want you to remember some things about them. These people had taken on the ways of the heathen nations, going up into the hills and into the mountains, and they were having sessions of illicit sex. That means they were naked and they were making one and a twain. They weren't married. They were men with men, women with women. And they probably had these idols around them and they were probably raising their hands and just doing all sorts of things. And imagine probably wine there, just enjoying themselves to the fullest. Then that they were pleasing the gods. And while doing all of this, they were still claiming to be the people of God. In other words, their mouth said one thing, but their conduct said something else. I said last week, you can't hold one hand onto God and put your other hand on your desires or whatever it is that's going to, make God's word null and void. Now, it can't. But if you surrender to it in that sense, it helps you to have blinded eyes and ears that are stopped up to continue to see and obey God. I hope it's making sense. Listen at this. It's as if Jeremiah then wants to try to consider and ponder, why is this? Listen at this. And we're at the third verse. Okay. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Okay, that's in the fourth verse. Let's continue on with this third verse. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. It's like Jeremiah saying, God, evident, it is obvious that you're dealing with them, that you're trying to correct them, that you're trying to bring them back in your love. I've been warning them, Lord, I've been warning them, but they won't listen. I'm going to be faithful, but they won't listen. It's almost like they don't see your truth. They don't see what you're doing, Lord.
Wow. This is when a person really should be afraid. It really is. They have refused to return. Now, I need to say something here because I might forget. Because we've been through the kings. And so since we've been away from the kings, I don't always remember the order, but I can tell you this. During the time of Hezekiah, a little bit before Hezekiah and after Hezekiah, we got to remember that there was a time of prosperity. If you look in the book of Amos, you'll see how prosperous they were. If you look in the book, I think, of Micah, you see how prosperous they were. And all of these things that they were able to do, they were prospering and gathering unto themselves certain riches and so forth. And it seemed like all things were good. But I'm telling you, things can be materially well. You can amass to yourself wealth and fame and all of this thing. But if you walk outside the will of God, trust me, he's looking. So sometimes we ought to be careful. This is an application. Be careful if you're prospering materially. Be careful if you're prospering in the ways of the world and you have no God. You disregard the God of all heaven and earth. Really, 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 that's not wise. That's not wise. Why did I mention it? Because things looked well so often. often to these people in Judah. Listen. He says, their faces are harder than a rock. They refuse to return. Now, now there's some things in here that I'm sure that I'm probably not pulling out to the fullest, but you just touch a rock and see if you can, with your hands, change the form of it, okay? That's the heart of these people. The face is reflecting the heart, just like the word does here in the scripture. Therefore, Jeremiah says in the fourth verse, therefore I said, truly these people are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of God. Jeremiah looks like he's trying to ponder this. It must be that they're poor. A lot of the poor people are left. Some deportations have taken place, but I would think that some of this happened before the deportation. They're poor. Some think that this is talking about their wealth. Some think that this is talking about their heart or whatever. I think it's talking about their wealth, because in the next verse, why? He says, so since these people are poor, that's probably maybe a problem with some of these people. But he says, you know what? These poor people, they don't understand the judgment of God, that maybe they lack opportunity. That's not true, though. It's like he's searching. Why can't I find consistency? Why can't I find faithfulness? Isn't that a better word? Faithfulness, not just faith. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is throughout the scripture. And that faith in God's word. That's what the 12 spies went up to check it out. 10 came back with an evil report. Two were faithful to what God said. You can do this through me. Well, this fourth verse goes on, and it's the fifth verse. I will get me unto great men. In other words, I will get me to some men with some kind of status that will have a little something, the ones that are not poor, and I will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. He keeps saying, their God. Really? But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. It's like it's all classes of people here in Judah and Jerusalem. Whether they're poor, whether they're wealthy, whether they're, let's call it a middle class. I know that's in our day, right? The poor, even back in the day, were supposed to be blessed because the wealthy were supposed to help them. You see that in the scripture. What's the point? Jeremiah's like, they're all messed up. Oh, my goodness. They have broken the yoke off. Now, two animals yoked together by a piece of wood that would go over their necks or in their shoulders, and they would be somehow yoked together, tied together, so that they could walk in unison and harmony in a certain direction so as to help till the ground for the purpose of growth from the earth. It's like you breaking this off as the cattle, as it gets bigger and it's stronger and it decides, I'm going to do what I want to and kick. No. We put this yoke on you so that you can be controlled by the master. Mm-mm-mm. Didn't Jesus say something like, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. He said, learn of me, Matthew 10 and about the 27th, 28th verse. He said, learn of me. Learn what my requirements are. Learn that I am the king. Learn that I give life, but learn that I'm coming and I can destroy. Read John 5th chapter. Read it. I'm going to judge. I'm going to be the one to judge. My father's given me to judge, and I'm judging how you live, just like this court case right here. Well, and before we go to the sixth verse, now I'm going to cut away here, and I'm going to try to read fairly quickly. Can I do it? Thank you. Thank you for letting me do this. He says, I'm looking, running to and fro, trying to find someone, can't find anyone. So it's like, God, you're dealing with them, you're punishing them, you're correcting them, but they just like bastards. They say, you hate my father, we ain't got to do it. So I'm not paying attention to you. Just like a little child that's real hard-hearted, hadn't had any training. You don't tell me what to do. That's what Judah's doing right now. He says, so it must be that they're poor and they don't have occasion. Or so I go to the rich, and I find that the rich, that while they're supposed to be wise and understanding, they both got the same problem. They wicked and hard-hearted. So this, they didn't know. I'm like, say what? I don't think so. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 32nd chapter. I like the whole thing, y'all. I do really do, but I'm not gonna read the whole chapter. My brother says we're not gonna teach that. I want to kind of teach you, but I just want to read it so you can hear it, just part of it, okay? I might read down the verse 15 or 16. Listen to this. This is centuries before
when they had come up out of Egypt and God was making a covenant with them. He says, when you come up out of Egypt and you pass through places like, let's say, Edom, and you pass through places like Ammon, you pass through places, you know, where you see these foreign gods, don't you do it. So I'm going to make a covenant with you. You must obey me. Don't take on the ways. Don't start trying to take, like, bring these gods to yourself and serve them. Remember, Abraham came from Mesopotamia where there were many gods. They came from Egypt when they'd been there 400 and something years. There were many gods. Listen at this. I shall read fairly quickly if I can. Give ear, O heavens. I'm at 32:1. And I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. My word's going to come down to you. You are to hear it. It's plentiful. It is for your nourishment. Listen, verse 3. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Yes, he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. It's getting sad. It's getting sad. They are perverse and a crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord? That's how you go pay God back. Oh, foolish people and unwise. Is this not, let me read it right, is not he the Father that hath bought thee? He bought you. He bought you, redeemed you. Hath he not made thee and established thee? In other words, he made you a people, made you a nation, and he's doing all this, letting his words come down to you and protecting you, and you're going to mistreat the just one, the holy one? Listen, I'm at verse 6. He does requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise. Is he not, it's not he thy Father that have bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy Father, and he will show thee thy elders, and they will tell thee. It makes me think of, is it James? It says, how does that verse go? Any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He's not going to get upset about it. Let's go on here. 8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. What does that mean? I'm just going to talk about it very quickly. When at the Tower of Babel, they were separated. The people become wicked under evil ruler. Go back and read it, Genesis 11. They're going to build a tower that was representative of government and a mountain that would go up so that they could worship the stars and the moon and so forth, right? And not God, okay? The cultures believed that those stars and things represented spirits and so forth. It's another lesson. God separated them, and when he separated them, people went to varying land regions and so forth, right? And God said these other nations would be ruled by demonic spirits. We call them in what we call the New Testament principalities, call them devils, call them demons and so forth. That's why when you see that God said, I don't want you to have any other gods, lesser gods before me, because they will teach you the wrong way. They will teach you the wrong way because of what happened in Genesis 6. That's why they're worshiping the groves like a Christmas tree and so forth. They're having sex. They took something that God gave to have a people and a family unto himself in the earth. And they took that thing that was supposed to be beautiful, sex, in God's order. And now it's just used any kind of way. So when you see them doing that in the mountains and the hills and so forth, God said, I didn't tell you to do that. That's why he prescribed how intimacy, sexual intercourse, was supposed to be between a husband and a wife. He separated the lands and he chose Israel for himself, not because they were great. He was going to make them a people. We'll see that when we go back to the text that we're actually in tonight. Listen, I want to read a few more verses. Thank you for being so patient with me. Going back to 7, I'm going to read down. Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy Father, and he will show thee thy elders, and they will tell thee when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set bounds of the people according to their number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Listen to this. He found him, this Jacob, in a desert land and in a waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. That was his love. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young. She's protected and spreadeth abroad her wings. Take them, beareth them on eagle's wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, that is Jacob, and there was no strange God with him. These other gods did not help. Do you hear it? So when we go back to Jeremiah, I'm like, and Jeremiah's just pondering. I think it's like he's sort of musing. It's not that they didn't know. Yes, they knew. He made him ride on high places of the earth that he might increase of the fields. He made him to suck honey out of the rock and the oil of the flint rock. Okay, I'm going to skip down to verse 15. But Jeshurun, it's like a term of endearment, if you will. It's Israel. That's the people of God. Okay. Wax fat and kicked. Thou art waxed and fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. You hear this? Keep talking about these strange gods, strange gods, strange gods. Provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with the abomination. They provoked they him to anger. Last verse. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Well, we see here that there's a problem. I think I read in verse 32 and 8, sons of Adam. I think some versions, I think they say sons of Israel. I think it's referring to the demons, but I didn't write it down, so maybe that'll be brought up in conversation. What's my point as we return back to Jeremiah? It's like they seem, by their actions, it's just like you would think that they didn't know. We went back into history to see that they did know. So now he's going to mention several beasts. Wild beast, predators, if you will. Wild beast, if you ever look at anything on television, they generally, they're not sparing to the prey. We've talked about the lion not too long ago. Even a bird, like the birds with those talons, they're not sparing. They rip those talons in there, and they'll take them up to the cliff, and they'll use that beak and tear into them. Well, let's see which animals or predators are mentioned. This is really speaking of what the Lord is want to do. These are pictures again. Listen at this, okay? I'm going to read the latter portion of verse 5, okay, in chapter 5 of Jeremiah. But these have altogether broken the yoke. They don't want your ruling God, and burst the bonds. Verse 6, wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out, this shall be torn and pieces, because their transgressions are so many, their backslidings are increased. Out of all of this love and warning, stop it, stop it. Repent, return, take heed, listen to the Lord, listen to the Lord. Jeremiah, over and over and over, they wouldn't listen. So the lion in his strength, the wolf in his ferocity and ravaging, just ripping animals apart, and a leopard with this quickness. Some think that this is referring to the different nations. I would say that that's probably true, but I think we need to continue to think about the nation from the north, Babylon. It's a picture of God just letting these nations have at it in his people because they didn't want to listen. Listen at verse 7 then. How shall I pardon thee for this? I keep warning you, but you're not repenting. How is it then I can pardon you, right? Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods. They are trusting in these other gods. Baal, Asherah, Molech, Chemosh, and we could name others, Dagon. They just continue to heap unto themselves all these other gods because you won't listen to God. You remember how when
Moses brought the people out of the land of Egypt, and they said they blamed Moses for bringing them out because they had it better. Be careful, be careful. See, I can't, it's, the question is rhetorical. I can't punish. I mean, I can't judge. I can't spare you for this. How can I pardon? I'm not. He fed them to the full. This is speaking of Yahweh. He provided for them. He fed them to the full. They committed adultery, and they assembled themselves by troops in the harlot's house. This harlotry here that's talking about, you want to kind of keep in mind what the harlot is. We've looked at that. I think it was in chapter 2, 3, when they would go up on every hill and just wait on the enemies, the lovers to come unto them. In other words, these other nations and their practices and their conduct and their worshiping of idols and so forth to these demon spirits. God's like, you went up to, let's call the hill the harlot's house. Let's call under the trees the harlot's house. And you just stay there and you continue to assemble yourself in, how can I say, the troops. You thronged there. In other words, forget about, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Thy holy hill, that be Jerusalem, that be Mount Zion, where this great, great temple was built that you allowed Solomon to build. Forget about Solomon's prayer when the people are taken captive, whenever they do something, let them turn back. You don't have a heart to do that. Lord, have mercy. Jeremiah 2. 28 and 29. Can we just turn that for a second? We've been there before. I told you I didn't think I was going to finish. But we'll just go back and look, because Jeremiah is, it's repetitious. Listen, Jeremiah 2, 27, saying to a stock, thou art my father, and to a stone, thus hast thou brought me forth, for they have turned their back unto me and not their face. But in the time of trouble, they will say, arise and save us. Don't say to these idol gods, but where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble, according to the number of thy cities. God's like, Jeremiah's like mocking them. You won't listen to me. You keep turning to them. Now, what's the point? Keep turning. This is application. You keep turning away from God, and you might be prospering in some way, but the end of the ways that you think of right, it is destruction. It is not life. Slow down. Not life. There is a pleading in this text. It is heavy. It is heavy. It is heavy. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 23. I want to turn there. Can I do it? I shall. This is Jeremiah still talking to the people. Truly, verily, verily, truly, without a doubt, it is in vain. Let me read it again. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. If you want to be delivered, if you want to endure coming through this judgment that is imminent anyway, you must repent. You got to be amongst the remnant. There's going to be a remnant. Do you want to be a part of those who's still going to be stubborn, who's still going to throw God's word behind your back? Listen, this world is full of sin. Listen, God is still calling for a faithful people. Listen, don't be tempted. Don't be tempted. Don't be tempted. And if you are tempted, test it. Endure. Oh, is it James 4 and 12? I think it's James 4 and 12. I wanted to quote it. Something about enduring temptation, for when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to them that love him. I believe it goes something like that. I'm turning there for a second. James, and I might be wrong. James 4 and 12. That is not it. It might be 1 and 12. Let me look at 1 and 12. That's not it, but blessed is the man that endureth temptation. It still fits. You're tested, you endure. For when he is tried, yes, it is. That's it. For when he is tried, when he is tested, he shall receive the crown of life. There's a reward which the Lord has promised to them that love him. There, so here, that's the, what we call the New Testament. The principle is the same. Let's go back over here. I knew I wasn't going to finish tonight. Well, you've gathered yourself continuously. This has become a custom to you. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me, and they've committed themselves and sworn by them that aren't gods. They've chosen to follow the demon spirits, which are represented by idols. When God says, I fed them to the full, I took care of them, they still committed adultery. they still assembled themselves in throngs in the hills and the high places of the harlot's house. Verse 8. They were as fed horses in the morning, every one neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit these worthy things? They coveting the neighbor's wife, just doing any and everything. He says, I'm going to visit you. I'm going to judge you. This is a part of the warning that Jeremiah has been telling them about. And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Do you understand that? They didn't seem to understand it. By their actions, they didn't even seem to understand it. We'll see why in a minute. Jeremiah's telling these people. Now, I've mentioned different prophets before. I've mentioned Hosea tonight. Isaiah was warning the people. Different prophets warning the people. And it's like, it's all right. We got time. He just running his mouth. You know how he is. God's like, I'm going to deal with you. I'm going to be avenged. Now, we read over there in Deuteronomy, God's a jealous God. Because what husband is he that when his wife goes out and she has sex with anybody and not respecting that vow between themselves, is he not going to be upset? Bible talks about things like that. Let's reverse it. What wife is it that's just so, my husband, he can go out. Now, these people say we got an open relationship. Well, let's just tell you, they took what was supposed to be blessed and honored, the thing called marriage. I don't know why they get married, or they call themselves getting married anyway. They bastardize what God has put, and then they say they can do what they want to. That is not of God, okay? It's not of God. Well, you're like, I'm not going to let you run over me like that. This is God. I told you from the beginning how it bless you and how it curse you, depending on your response to me. Read all of Deuteronomy 32. Start it. Read the whole thing. But if you must, start at chapter 28. Read it 29. Read it 30. Read it. 30 is kind of nice. All of it's nice. But you say, but I'll bless you and circumcise your heart. Your heart, if you turn to me. Well, I said I wanted to try to get to verse 20. Okay. I'm at verse 10. Okay. I'm going back to 9 and I'm going to read 10 on down a little bit. Shall I not visit for these things, this wickedness, saith the Lord, and shall not my soul be avenged? People say God is not involved in the world. Yes, he is. He's looking. He's looking for faithfulness and righteousness because of his goodness. Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Sounds like America, doesn't it? Sounds like Europe, doesn't it? Sounds like many nations, doesn't it? Go ye up upon her walls and destroy. Make not a full end. Take away her battlements, for they are not the Lord's. He's now giving the enemy, this would be Babylon, he's saying, go do it. You're going to destroy. You're my servant now, he said, but I don't want you to destroy all the way. I think there's a precept here. When we see that the Assyrians went into Israel, they went beyond God's, what God wanted. You see that in Isaiah, I think it's the 10th chapter and the 13th verse. So often when God would use a nation to go in against his people, there was a certain point. It looks like God would has somehow let these individuals know, because he goes in and he deals with them after that. I talked about Isaiah, and I talked about how it's mentioned that it with the north went too far, and God went and dealt with them. Didn't he do it? Yes, he did. Now he says, they're not the Lord's. That makes me think of, I think it's Hosea. We won't turn there. I think it's around the first chapter, maybe somewhere in the 8th and 9th verse. Hosea is told to go marry a harlot, Gomer. She has 3 children, and each child has a name. And though it's dealing with Israel, we see the same sin is committed, right? It says, I think, Lo Ami, these are not my people. What? What? Of people that you chose for your inheritance? Of people that you brought out of Egypt? How is it that they were blessed before, and now they're not mine. Be careful. This once saved, always saved will send you to hell if you keep thinking that you can live any kind of way. You take the member of Christ and make it as a harlot? God forbid. How shall we then dare to sin, Romans 6, and wouldn't live any longer therein? You ought to have some common sense to think about that thing.
You mean to tell me you can go steal? You mean to tell me you can go have fornication? You mean to tell me you can go embezzle upon people? You mean to tell me you can hate people? You mean to tell me you can have pedophilia? I don't know how you say it. Relationship with children? Sexual relationship with children? You can dishonor your mother and your father, and you think that Jesus is okay with that because he died on the cross and because you said a prayer? Let me see it. So, do you mean to tell me that you think the Almighty Son of God, Jesus Christ, who said, if you love me, you'll keep my word? Who said that? Who said that you ought to fear God rather than man? Who said that take my yoke upon you? Who said that I have come to give you life, not death, because the wages of sin is death? Who through his prophet, who taught his prophet when he was blind for about 3 days, he said the carnal mind is enmity against God. He said that those who are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. He said that they could cry Abba Father through the adoption that Ephesians talks about in the first chapter, that we have become the children of God through adoption. Lord have mercy. Can you tell me that you think, because you want to, that you can do anything because he died on the cross? It's very seductive and pleasing to the ears. John said, don't love the world. These are the things that are in the world. Because it's all wrapped up in the pride of life. You're not going to be able to do that. Jesus is King. He is Lord. He's not seeking for your advice. He's not seeking for your approval. Did you see that when he blowed on those men who come to arrest him in the Garden of Gethsemane, how they fell down? Did you see that? Do you remember that the earthquake when he hung his head and he died? Did you see it? Did you see it? Did you see it? Did you see how he took the ear and put it back on the man? Jesus
said, I have all power in my hand. You're going to stand before Jesus and say, Jesus, I knew that you would be okay with me committing fornication. I knew that you'd be okay with me lying. I knew that you'd be okay with me cheating on my job. I knew that you'd be okay with me not learning of your word. I knew that you'd be okay with me doing it. No. No, it is not. It doesn't make sense, does it? It doesn't make sense. Let's go back to the text. What's the connection? These people felt like because they had a genealogy through Abraham, God had delivered them, even though they complained, and Moses had brought them along, and Joshua had brought them along, and there were many judges that rose up, like Samson and Jotham and various ones, Gideon. We God's people. It's all right. No, God has told these enemies now, go get them. I'm at verse 11. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me. They're against me. Your enemy to me, saith the Lord. They have belied the Lord. I want to read that just a second. They have lied about the Lord. That's what it says in this New International Version. They have belied the Lord and said, it is not he. Neither shall evil come upon us. Neither shall we see sword or famine. And the prophet shall become wind. And the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. Did you hear how they discounted the word of the Lord? All that God has said, he didn't mean it. All that we saw happen to Israel, it didn't happen. How God swallowed Nadab, Abihu, and I forgot their names. How he swallowed up Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Nadab and Abihu is Leviticus 10. You mean to tell me God did that to his priestly service and those who went up against? Yes, yes, because God has a pattern. And he's like, you're not going to do that. I've tried to show you mercy. Turning back to Deuteronomy 32, I want to look at 16. Can I do it? Let me see what time it is. Oh, it's almost time to go. They provoke. Okay, I'm not going to read it. I've already read that. You have to be careful. This is where I mentioned that once saved, always saved. Now, what you got to remember is that there's been multiple times here that God has told these people what they were going to do. I do. So I'll be trying to wrap this up in 5 to 10 minutes. I am going to turn to Zephaniah now. I was just looking through this, and I'm like, there's so much here. Turning to Zephaniah, and I want to look at, start at verse 4 a little bit and read just a little bit. What'd you say? Chapter 1, I believe. I thought that I had marked this tree. If you find it, I might ask you to read it. Give me a second. Look at Zephaniah. Zephaniah is also 1. Okay, I'm going to look at verse 4, and I'm just going to read down a little bit, okay? Listen. Zephaniah, chapter 1, verse 4. I will stretch out my hand upon Judah. We've been talking about Judah. And upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and the name of Chemerims with the priests, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord, and that swear by Malcolm. Sixth verse. And them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord, nor inquired for him, hold thy peace at the presence. There it is, at the presence of the Lord. In God's presence, there is the seraphim and the cherubim, and they're protecting people from being killed, from coming up to God. Lightning, thundering, oh Lord, brightness. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guests, and it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the prince and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. In the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, and the howling from the second, and the great crashing from the hills. How, ye inhabitants of Machtesh, for all the merchant people are cut down, and all that, listen, and all people are cut down. All they that bear silver are cut off. I want to read a little bit more. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men. See the searching of Jerusalem. And punish the men that are settled on their lees and say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. It's like, there's no God. Therefore, their good shall become a booty. All their prosperity is like going to be taken. Their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. The day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. This is speaking, if you will, of God's judgment. It sounds like that. They say the end time is when God's judgment comes. This is a picture of how heavy it is. The day of the trumpet and alarm, 16th verse, against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men. Think about this. The lion, the leopard, and the wolf. They shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Listen at verse 18. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord. So the day of the Lord sometimes is used and makes it sound like, oh, the very, very end. But the day of the Lord, we were taught in seeking truth, and I believe it. It's happened many times. God's judgment comes, it is like they had reached a point of no return. So this day of the Lord is like judgment. Read Joel, and you'll see those things. And it's happened cyclically throughout history. Yes, cyclically means history repeated itself. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedily riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Who's he talking to? Judah. All right, I'm going to wind this down. It's 9. 43. I'm going to read a little bit more of this passage, and I do want to turn to Psalms. I think I said it was Psalms 14. Look at it, maybe 3 to 4 or 5 verses there. Let me read just a little bit more. This 12th verse, I'm back in Jeremiah 5. Jeremiah said, they lied on the Lord. The prophets were false. They said nothing basic was going to happen. It's like, who is God? It's like he doesn't exist. So I'm going to read 13, and I'm going to go down just a tiny bit more. I'm not going to make it all the way to 20 like I had said, but because I want to go to Psalms. They have belied the Lord and said, it is not he, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword or famine. We're not going to see his judgment. And the prophet shall become wind. It's just like they hear it go, and it doesn't matter. A word is not in them. They don't have true word of God. Thus shall it be done unto them. Wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. God's like, my word is going to consume. I think we saw that in Hebrews 12, the very last verse. God is a consuming fire. Yes, I mentioned in Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. I've mentioned Nadab and Abihu, Leviticus 10. God's word is a fire. In other words, when you speak, Jeremiah, it's going to cause anger, distress, antagonism. They're not going to want to hear it. I heard it like this, and I liked it. Listened to an individual just the other day talking about how when the Bible seems to say that God hardens an individual's heart. I'm going in scripture now. Like when Pharaoh resisted after God defeated one plague and God defeated another plague, our God of the plague, flies, sun, frogs, whatever. It's like God would seem to be giving an opportunity for Pharaoh to condescend and see the mighty power of God. And actually, I would say turn to him. Yes, because he knew Moses was God's manservant. But it's like you reject it and you reject it, and your heart becomes more and more callous. And I've said it like this. So God gives you over to yourself. That's what the scripture says, because he knows what you're going to do. You've reached a certain point. Well, God says, well, Jeremiah, when your word goes out, they're going to become more and more stubborn, but it's going to burn them up. It's going to burn them up where it should change them, because fire can be used for good and it can be used for good. Good in that I'm going to destroy evil off the land, or good in that when you break up the fallow ground, you burn off that old so it's fresh. I said I'm going to end here. So I want to turn to Psalms 14. I want to look at a few verses. These people are acting like there's no God. These people are acting like God's judgment is not true. They've been very foolish. Psalms 14 is short. I don't intend to read the whole thing. Listen at what this is saying now. This is believed to be a psalm by David. So when I say the fool here, let's think of the nation of Judah or the people of Judah. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Okay. Now, if we looked at that and we apply it to this, we know Jeremiah is doing good. We see that there are other prophets I've mentioned, but looking at this as a whole, they're not righteous. They're not obeying God. Second verse. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Jeremiah saying that these people seem to have no understanding. Maybe they were poor. So he went to the wealthy or the ones who had means. They seem to have no understanding either. But they knew. They just didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all gone together, become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? So the wealthy would take advantage of the less fortunate, the child, the children without parents. And the lady whose husband had died had no protection often. So God had laws in place for them. I said I wasn't going to read the whole thing, but here I am. So if I do, I do. Fifth verse, Psalms 14. There were they in a great fear, for God is the generation of righteous. righteous, the generation of the righteous. Verse 6, ye have shamed the counsel of the poor because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. Now, this goes into sort of a distant time. The first part is what I really want to focus on, the fool set his heart. So if the fool, if that comes from the innermost part, the person has made up their mind, we're not going to listen to God. So they're going to reap the consequence of turning away from God. This person hates God. God destroys. God will destroy those that hate him. But you have, I keep saying, God had given them time after time and time again, and it's coming down. Well, I'm going to pretty much stop right here on this evening. I lost my place, but I think I stopped. Give me a second. I want to say I stopped somewhere around, was it verse 13 or 14, Dre? I stopped at verse 14 in this Jeremiah, the fifth chapter. Lord willing, we'll finish it the next time we speak. So, we're still in the court case. Jeremiah is still rebuking the people and admonishing them. We saw that when God had told the nation to come on in and tear down the walls, he said, don't destroy to the full. So there's still the hope there. But for those hard-hearted people, God's destruction, he will not turn back from it. What's the point? We got to look at it, saints. We got to stay faithful. If we're tempted by this or that or something that comes from within, we can't let it conceive. Because when sin conceives, it brings forth death. We don't want that to happen, right? These people having been blessed. I don't know if I said that right. Having been blessed. They weren't heeding to God's warning. His warning, like, well, you keep telling me what I can't do. That's because I'm trying to protect you from falling, from dying, from my wrath. Okay? You have been blessed. You, having been blessed, did not heed my warning. This fifth chapter is heavy. Father, we thank you for giving us this history, giving us of your spirit, chastising us when we need it, encouraging us when we need it. Help us not to rest on our feelings, but to be faithful to you. We need you at all times, when we're asleep, when we're awake. Please continue to protect us. Help us learn to know how to love you more. Help us to see you, so that we can be obedient, Lord. I ask these things in your son Jesus' name, amen. We are open for class discussion if there's going to be any of this evening.